At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, everyone, to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
This is Tiara.
Welcome to part two of The Game of Life. In part one, we broke down why the system is corrupt, how we got so engorged into it, why it was really set up to fail, how we've been lied to, how we were not all created equal. And in this episode, I do want to dive into ways to escape it and ways that you can feel like you get some of your power back, because I feel like people are just in hopelessness and people feel powerless. And you know, in part one, we discussed how there is power in numbers and how we do hold more power than we think we do. And as Tiara mentioned, the governments know this, which is why they keep us distracted, oppressed, suppressed, and, you know, they control the airwaves and they control the social media platforms. So they are controlling the content that we see. They are controlling everything. And so you have to understand, it's like we have to find ways around the control. We have to find ways to get ourselves out. We have to find ways to empower ourselves, but also empower each other. And so in part two, I want to go down the rabbit hole and talk about ways that we can try to beat the system or try to win at the game of life. And one of the easiest ways is to remove yourself from the game of life is to walk away from the game of life. You just choose to walk away. And one of the easiest ways that, and I know it's been picked up, especially in the past 5 years since COVID, leaving your country. I would say, honestly, that is the easiest way, because I have seen so many digital nomads here in Colombia, and they all say the new American dream is to earn US dollars and live in a much cheaper country. And I mean, the United States, the Americans are leaving the United States in mass. There is a mass exodus happening right now in the United States, because those people who do have those remote jobs are some of the most coveted positions out there, because everyone wants them because they know that it equals freedom. So if you are one of those people who can work remotely, more power to you, get yourself out. And that is definitely one way. And then also, we're going to talk about finances. We're going to talk about the financial stage and what's happening. I know Tiara really wants to dig into crypto, and I have a lot to say about that too. Another way is to walk away from the system, but go off grid. Like, if you don't have the money to leave America, then go off grid. Like, we're going to talk about ways to live off the land, because everything we need, you can do it off grid. You just have to come up with an irrigation system for water, but like, planting your own vegetables, it's actually going to be more beneficial to you, because you'll be eating real food that you grow coming from the earth versus this poisonous food that they are serving us in our grocery stores that we are spending an astronomical amount of money for. And it's not even real food. And that's a whole other topic and other thing of keeping us sick to basically make the pharmaceutical companies more rich. It's so interesting. The medical, we could talk about medical too, because medical is not meant to actually heal us. Medical is there to maintain our symptoms or make us worse. And they do this through pharmaceuticals, and they do it because it's like, you go into a doctor, I stopped going to doctors because it's just like, well, let me just write you a prescription for, you know, your depression or for your anxiety or for your eating disorder or your heart disease or whatever. It's like they have a pill literally for everything. And it's just like, well, why don't we get to the root of the problem so we don't need those pills? That's not part of their regimen. So it's like, it's just absolutely disgusting, like how they have thought of everything and how it is literally bleeding into our lives of every aspect in terms of the food that we eat, our mental health, the programming to become enslaved because they have sold us on this American dream. And yeah, Tiara and I just want to get into ways that we can just walk away, because I don't feel like enough people are just talking about ways to escape it. And that's something that I wanted to do in this episode.
So I know it seems like there are threats coming from every direction, because it absolutely does feel like that. Like, it just feels like, especially if you're in the West, like, you got to worry about food, you got to worry about chemicals, you got to worry about what they're putting in the air and water and what they're spraying. And you've got to worry about what they're feeding kids in school and the stuff that they're consuming on social media and TV. It's just like what she said, like they've thought of everything. And it's just like this uphill battle to like feng shui all the threats being lodged your way. So I understand a lot of the overwhelm that people are feeling and that sense of hopelessness and helplessness. And it's completely understandable and it makes sense. Like, because now not only are you trying to just afford your bills, but you also got to worry about surviving some of these threats flying your way. And now we're talking about leaving the country. And so like, we don't mean to overwhelm. It's just, I think it's a great reality check for what's going on right now. And it's something that a lot of people need to start paying attention to. So, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about living off grid. I saw a YouTube about a gentleman who is living off grid someplace in the South. And I can't remember his name. I want to say it's like Seamus or something like that. It's like he came from, I believe, a Mormon community. And when I tell you that this kid is, he was like in his 20s. And this kid was like the happiest person I have ever seen. Like, just so carefree, not a worry or a care in the world, was living in a shack off the land. He would cook himself breakfast and wash his clothes in the stream. He didn't have bills. He didn't have ID. And he would walk around barefoot. And he was just like, I am so grateful and blessed. And I'm so happy. And the guy that was interviewing him was just like, you know, the way you live would be foreign to most Americans. Like, how do you do it? And why do you do it? And he was just like, because this is freedom. And
yeah,
freedom is what keeps me balanced and happy. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I never forgot this kid and this documentary and how it kind of goes to show that sometimes simplifying your life can be the key to freedom. And so, you know, we see these individuals like this kid. I want to say his name was like Seamus. I'm sure that's like 100% wrong. But anyway, I see this kids like this, and I'm just like, you know, that gives me a lot of perspective. And it should give us all perspective and pause about what's possible when you escape the drudgery of what your mind has been reared to know. And the way that your mind has been reared to exist, that there is often freedom in escaping that. So just something to keep in mind as we have this conversation.
I wouldn't say that it's often freedom. I would say it's absolute freedom. You know, it's very few people have achieved absolute freedom. Excuse me. And as a person who has freed herself, you know, I was really fortunate. I was 29, 30 at the time when I made the conscious choice to walk away. And I just started traveling. And then I started using my certification to teach English as a way to continue that freedom and continue traveling. And I learned everywhere I went. I never took any country I went into for granted. And I learned, about the history, and I learned about how other societies live, how other societies used to live. And it just, that self-education for me, I was able to pinpoint like what I knew from being a part of the Matrix and following that path. And through that traveling, I was able to expand, like open up my mind and expand on those values and teachings, and be able to incorporate all of that knowledge into substantial change in my life. And honestly, so grateful for that, because I was not built for the Matrix. I succeeded, but I kept getting blocked because I was different, and because, you know, I was more of a leader than a follower. And going back to our first episode, they don't really like that. They don't like leaders. They want followers. And, you know, it's just the way that they suppressed me. The more that I got suppressed, like from my childhood, like the bullying, or from the workplace, the more that I felt suppressed, the more I fought back. I was just like, okay, well, I don't need to stay at this company, or I'd go try something new. And I kept trying new things until I found something that stuck, that fit, that felt authentic, that felt real. And I just took risks. People, you cannot get anywhere in this life if you do not take risks. If you just want everything to stay exactly the same, then guess what? Change is not going to come. So you can sit there and you can wish it, and you can try to will it as much as you want to, but change, most likely change is not going to come to you. You have to be able to take risks. You have to be able to take plunges, and you cannot be afraid of failure, because I feel like that's what stops so many people. People's like, well, if I'm going to do this, I want to guarantee that it's going to work out. And I'm just like, nothing is guaranteed in life except for death and taxes. Once you are born, the only two guarantees in this world are death and taxes. Outside of death and taxes, life is a playground. You can do whatever you want. And I just don't think a lot of people really understand that you are in charge of your life. Like, no one's holding you accountable to show up to work every day. Do you know how many, like, sure, these companies can hire you, but it's like, do you have to show up every single day? No. Like, I have seen this in Gen Zs, which is why so many boomers are complaining about Gen Zs and younger millennials, saying, can they just show up and actually work? Like, what's wrong with this generation? It's like, we showed up and worked. It's like, why? It's like, I've seen TikToks where it's like, this guy was ordering at Chipotle, and the second that clock turned 5 o'clock, he just walked away from his station. And the guy was just like, you're not even going to finish filling my order before you clock out. And the guy was like, nope, it's 5 o'clock. I'm leaving. Bye. And he was like left there just being like, what is wrong with this generation? And honestly, Gen Z, nothing is wrong with you guys. You guys have so much power in that. And I want to just commend the Gen Zs for just being like, you guys hired me to work exactly the hours. The second that hour hits that clock, I'm out. I'm not doing this overtime thing. I am not staying. I don't care if I'm in the middle of the task. I was hired to work a certain hour. Once it hits that hour, my obligation to you is over. And I was just, and so like, I see both points. Like, as a consumer, you're just kind of like, well, WTF. But as that Gen Zer, it's just, he was just like, no, I'm off the clock. Bye. And there's so much to be like kind of commendable in that attitude, because more people need to have that. It's like, I was one of those workers. I mean, you have to understand, work culture was very different when I was in my 20s. And it's like, companies paid better, and I was getting time and a half. And I was just like, sure, I'll stay a couple extra hours, because that couple extra hours, like puts me at like $60 an hour, like sure, I will happily do it.
You know, I also got to hand it to the Gen Zers. Like, they're over it and they're not taking any mess and they're making a stance. And I'm just like, you know what? I respect that. And, you know, in my last full time, not necessarily a corporate role, but it was a 9-to-5 at a government entity, I did employ a couple Gen Zers and a couple interns. And like, they were all very respectful. Like, this whole stereotype against Gen Z is about them being lazy and worthless. Like, I don't really believe it. Like, you know, sure, that exists in every generation. But
yes,
these guys were gems. And I thought they were fantastic. They had great work ethic. And they were very no-nonsense, right? Like, it was kind of very much a mutual thing. Like, it was like, all right, you show me respect, I'll show you respect. And so it worked out. And, you know, some of these things that managers report from Gen Zers, I never had that issue. I thought they were great. They were very, like what you would see, like that energy you would see in people who carry activism. And like, if you nurture that enough, like even with the people I worked with, if I nurtured that enough and I was like, all right, let's go this path, we're gonna like fight for change, like they would probably absolutely do it. You just have to give them respect, show them that level of respect, and they will fight. So I do respect the Gen Zers. I know that a lot of them are feeling demoralized right now and are feeling hopeless and helpless, but you guys have so much power.
You guys are our future.
You guys are our future, absolutely. And you guys are forcing change in the workplace in many regards. You know, I see a lot of articles about companies being like, well, Gen Zs, they want more work-life balance and they want more flexibility. And what is this? And I'm just like, yeah, that's called humanism and like caring. And so like, I respect that so much. So yeah, kudos to you guys. You guys have quite a battle. I'm sorry so many of you are feeling so demoralized by what's going on in our society right now. But you can do something to change it, you know, if you wanted to. Just like, hint, hint.
Absolutely. And like, you know, we do need change. You know, I have a lot of respect for Generation Z because we do need change. And the fact that they are willing to stand up to these corporations, the fact that they are willing to say, yeah, I do need a job, but I don't need this job that as badly. Like, I don't need you more than you need me. Because once you give them that power of you need me more, like once they have that power over you, you will bend over backwards for these freaking people because it's just like, oh my God, like I want to satisfy my bosses. And that's like what us millennials went through. Like when we were trying to climb the social ladder, we were just like, we'll do anything and everything. We just want a good performance review and we want to climb up the social ladder. And we gave into all of their whims and we let them control us. And the fact that Gen Z is just like, you know what? Like, we're going to act as if you need me more than I need you. And they don't give in to their every whim. That this is how we implement change, people. This is how we do it. And so I have a lot of respect for what they're doing out there. Like, keep it up. I know that, you know, if any boomers listen to this, yeah, we're probably going to get some flack, but you want to know what? Our system's broken and it needs to change.
And it's all the boomers' fault. Anyway.
That's so a whole war. That's a whole war and that could be its own episode. But now us millennials feel a certain kind of way about boomers these days.
Which is so funny because they feel a certain way about us too. And we're just like, oh, okay. Okay. You want to make it a battle? You want to make it a fight? All right. Anyway. So I just wanted to pivot a little bit because, you know, Allie brought up something to me that was very interesting when it comes to what's happening, when it comes to monetary policy and finance in our country. And I guess at technically this point, it's kind of still conspiracy theory, even though everyone sees what's happening, but
not everyone. Are you kidding me? Not everyone. Not even.
Okay, you're right. Not everyone. 1% of people actually sees what's happening and see the writing on the wall. But there's a good chance that the government is going to hijack crypto to make it the next financial system. Now, whether that's going to happen, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, can't be known. It's just, there are some who are speculating and kind of seeing some of the writing on the wall about this transition and shift. And to be honest, I wasn't really paying attention. You know, I was just like, well, I need to figure out how to get a job in this job market that's not hiring anyone, especially since I've got all these other check marks against me, like my skin color. So, you know, my focus was elsewhere. And, you know, Allie had pointed out to me, she was like, I keep seeing video and news and TikToks about crypto becoming something being embraced by the government and becoming the next financial policy. And I was just like, you know, that's really interesting. And I got involved in crypto back in like 2019. And I just thought it was such an incredible, interesting concept. Crypto kind of first came onto the scene back in like 2008 with Bitcoin. And then from there, you had all these other networks like Ethereum, which is one some of you guys might be familiar with. So I played a lot in the Ethereum playground and with different apps and bought some meme coins and did some stupid stuff. But it was interesting and I learned a lot. And so, you know, when Allie was getting into crypto, I kind of helped like, you know, setting up the wallets and transferring funds and just figuring out like the really tech stuff. And I was just like, you know, if this is a thing that's going to happen, then I think more people probably, A, need to pay attention to this, and B, need to start figuring out how to do crypto. Because what I've seen is that the government, the West, the US government, might buy a lot of Bitcoin and use that as a strategic reserve and revalue that so that they can come up with the money to pay off the national debt. Now, is that going to really happen? I don't know. Is it likely? Sure. Do we see some of the actions and behaviors shifting towards that? Yes. And so I wanted to just chat a little bit about this because this could be a key to financial freedom for a lot of people if they are paying attention and taking those steps. Because you have to imagine that if Bitcoin shoots up to $1 million per coin, which is what they're speculating could happen.
That's in the next lift. 5 years, people. You do have any idea how fast that is?
Five years. Yes. And if there's anything you know about Bitcoin, it's like kind of lifts the entire market. So we could see other coins being worth tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if that's a likelihood, then we need to start looking at that right now and start learning crypto, figuring it out, doing a little bit of purchasing, getting used to that. And it's so unfortunate that crypto is such a tricky thing to navigate. Like if you're not tech savvy or if you, you know, don't really care for finance, the prospect of learning crypto is overwhelming and scary for some people. Like I get it. You know, you make one wrong move, there goes all your money. So I get it. But if this is true, or if there's any shred of truth to this, we need to start paying a little bit more attention and start learning to navigate the crypto landscape. Because again, that could lift, we're talking generational money here, people. If what's meant to happen is going to happen, that could lift so many people out of their current circumstances for the rest of their lives. So just wanted to throw this on the table and just chat a little bit about it.
Crypto, crypto, crypto. So I did learn, I briefly learned about crypto like back in 2018. And I actually did buy Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I'm the idiot who sold when the market got really bad. And trust me, it's actually one of the biggest regrets of my life. Because I think my financial situation would be a lot different. Actually, I know it would be. But, you know, it's just something that I've learned about crypto. There's a couple coaches that I actually follow on TikTok who I think are very knowledgeable. It's like, you guys have to be careful when it comes to TikTok because you have to understand that a lot of these influencers who are trying to blow up meme coins or certain coins, most likely they've been paid to do that. And there's a lot of scams. Okay. Tiara and I, we are not psychologists. We are not financial advisors. We are just talking about what we are doing personally and how we are trying to navigate this crazy game of life. So I do want to back up for a second and talk about money, though, and talk about the finances, because they don't teach us how to actually build wealth in school. They don't teach us what credit is. They don't teach us how to use credit properly. They don't teach you about what is good debt. They don't teach you about what is bad debt. They don't teach you the difference between compounding interest and fixed interest. They don't teach you anything about money. And that's by design. So don't beat yourself up for not understanding money and the financial systems, because it's by design, people. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you 100% right now. None of you are going to get off the ground. None of you are going to actually be able to sleep at night if you guys do not learn finances, if you guys do not understand the terminology, if you do not understand the difference between good debt, bad debt, if you guys do not understand investing, if you guys do not understand things that actually give you freedom. Now, there's two types of freedom. There are those people that just choose to walk away from the system and say, I'm going to go live off grid and I'm going to learn how to live off of the land, like that guy that Tiara was talking about earlier in the episodes, who she was so inspired by. That is 1,000% one way, and it's probably honestly the easiest way if you don't have money. Now, if you do have a little bit of money, you take that money and you invest it wisely. You invest into things that are actually going to get you real gains. Now, real gains is not real estate these days, because the real estate's about to come crashing down with this huge crash that's going to be coming in 2026. Okay. So it's like, okay, well, I got a little bit of money. What am I going to do with it? Well, there's a couple things you could do with it. You could either use that money and run away from America and leave the country, like I did. That's what I did. Or you have to find investments that are going to beat inflation. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. Like, a lot of people just don't understand inflation, macroeconomics, microeconomics, investing, interest, and things that are actually going to get you ahead when it comes to financial freedom. Because again, money makes the world go round. And this is all by design. I don't want you guys to beat yourselves up because you don't understand finance. Now, crypto. Yes, I have seen a lot of chatter. Okay, I think I sold back in 2019 and I just haven't touched crypto since then. And so I've been seeing all this chatter about how the current administration is in a huge pro crypto, right? They're just like, America's in a lot of debt. Now, you have to understand, we're about to default on that debt, okay? And because we're about to default on that debt, guess what? Us taxpayers, we're not making enough money. Our money that goes towards taxes barely pay off the interest rate. Okay, when we are only paying off interest rates, we are not putting any of that money towards the principal, and it has to go towards that principal to pay down the debt. Okay, we are actually backed into a corner right now where America is about to go bankrupt. We're about to default on the loan. And so this current administration has taken it upon themselves and has made it quite clear that they want the US to be the crypto capital of the world. Like, we want to be number one in crypto. So why would they want to be number one in crypto if they weren't planning on doing big things with it? Because the way that the old financial system is right now, and the way that the American people are living right now, and the current economic state, we're never going to pay off $38 trillion. So what are they doing? They are digitalizing our assets, and they are moving into crypto. And you guys have to understand, they are manipulating the markets. Now, because I understand finance, and because I have basic understanding of the stock market, I know that a lot of the things that they are doing in crypto right now is totally illegal, and they would never get away with manipulating the markets in crypto the way that they would if they could manipulate the markets in the stock market because of the SEC and because of regulations. And this is why crypto is such a magical place. It's in a magical place right now because there is no regulations. There are no laws. Crypto is like a playground for these huge whales that are like, oh, we can manipulate the markets. We can make Bitcoin crash. Well, let's bring Bitcoin down as low as possible, buy it all up, so then we can loan it out to the consumers when the consumers are ready to invest in crypto and take a cut of their earnings. So, like, I find this all super fascinating. There's a reason why I chose like banking and finance as a career. And that has played a really big role in how I was able to attain financial freedom and investing, because I understand a lot of these things. And I'm telling you, this is why anyone can go learn this stuff too. It's like, you guys don't need to go enroll into school. This is why I keep talking about self-education. If you guys want to win at the game of life, you got to start self-educating yourself. And look at trends, do your own research, and don't give in to your emotions on this stuff, okay? Crypto investing, there's always going to be regrets. It's always going to be like, oh, like I regret selling too early, or I regret holding, or I regret not buying then. And it's like, there's always going to be regrets. And when you bring emotion into it, that's when people lose everything. And that's why it's like, you have to be careful, because it's almost like gambling, and it's almost like that gambling high and that adrenaline. So it's like, you have to be as level-headed, have strategies, build ecosystems, understand what you're investing in, and understand the way economics works if you really, really want to win in the game of finance.
You know, the unfortunate reality is that so many people lack that fundamental understanding, and it is going to require self-educating. And, you know, that's kind of what I did a little bit when I dove into crypto several years ago. Now, did I have financial understanding? No. Did I understand finance or interest or budgeting? No. I fell asleep in economics class in high school because I thought it was boring. So I didn't have that foundation. But I just thought crypto in and of itself was so fascinating, because here's this technology that is designed to operate outside of institutions, outside of government regulation, and without any oversights and without a middleman. So you could send crypto from point A to point B, and it would go there by itself without anything needing to regulate it. And I just thought that was so cool. And I was like, man, there's so much you could do with that. So on some of these networks, there are companies with their own coins that are building incredible things, actually. So I know one of the big ones right now that's kind of got this really altruistic focus is Cardano, or ADA, which is a concept that is community driven. Like, everyone kind of pools in to provide coins. They buy the coins and then they kind of share them and stake them so that the network functions together as a collective. For the benefit of everyone who uses it. And I think that stuff is incredible. Now, with that said, crypto does have a high learning curve. I mean, finance, in my opinion, finance is also a very high learning curve. But crypto takes it even a notch higher, because now you're talking about unique technology. And because it's unregulated, you got to figure out how to protect yourself and how to navigate it without making mistakes or losing all your money or getting scammed. And let me tell you, in crypto, scams are everywhere. I don't know what it is. I think, as Ali mentioned, part of it is because it is unregulated. But I mean, oh my God, there's just all over the place. They're like falling out the sky trying to come and take your money. So there's a little bit more nuance to it. And we want you guys to be educated and safe if you're going to go this route and you want to explore getting into crypto before the government comes in and just, you know, takes over. Now, to the extent what they're going to take over, I'm not fully sure. You know, we're not fully sure. We've seen companies that are creating like their own crypto coin. So what was one of them? Some big bank created their own crypto coin. I don't know if it was JP Morgan or one of those. And it's one of those coins that the general public can't buy. It's only for special interests and institutions. So you can kind of see the slow encroachment of institutions and greedy banks into this space, trying to kind of get ahead of the curve and build their platforms and foundations on it before the retail investors catch on. And we're telling you guys right now, like, catch on and get in and pay attention, because there's ample opportunity to take advantage of this and, again, create generational wealth if you are diligent, if you are patient, if you take the time to learn it, study it, and do your due diligence. So, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. And, you know, I'm working on creating a space for individuals who want to learn crypto, but I call it, this is not to be offensive, crypto idiots. Like, you know, if you're a crypto idiot, you don't know anything about crypto, you're coming from nowhere. Probably not. I mean, I don't mean, again, mean to be offensive. It's just, I think it's funny. And it kind of goes to show how difficult it is to learn crypto and get involved in that space if you have no foundation at ever, because it is, it's so hard and it's so tricky. So I'm working on creating resources for individuals who do want to learn just basic stuff, like just to get started, crypto 101, plain language, which is really important with crypto. Like, I've tried to learn things with crypto using Google, and I'm just like, I don't know what this means. So plain language is really helpful for a lot of people, I've noticed, and it can help you get your wallet, get in there, and start buying. It's called Crypto for the People. It's an up-and-coming thing I'm working on. But there are resources out there if you do want to learn. Again, do your own research. DYOR is something that's really huge in the crypto space, because you have to do your own research. You have to pay attention. And you just, it's one of those things you have to learn on your own, unfortunately. Like many things in life that don't involve being programmed or controlled or manipulated by the powers that be.
Right. So something that I think is a very clear sign that everything is about how crypto will be our new financial system is this whole digital ID thing and, you know, mark of the beast or the chip implants. Like, I think it's Switzerland. I want to say it's Switzerland. They are going to be completely cashless. Like, it's predicted that they're going to be completely cashless in like the next year. They're going to be one of the first countries that do this. And you have to be paying attention. Like, look for the signs of which countries are trying to go completely cashless and wipe cash off of completely, like, off the map. I think that's a really good sign. Also, I know that the United States, like, they're not talking about just digitalizing currency. They are talking about digitalizing real estate. They're talking about digitalizing like business ventures. They're talking about digitalizing AI. They're talking about digitalizing literally everything. You can't digitalize stuff with the old financial system in place. It's like all the signs, all the writings are on the wall for this. And I didn't ignore it. And I hit up Tiara and I was just like, hey, we're in a bear market right now. Like, what are your thoughts? I've been hearing rumors that Trump is, that he wants to wipe off $38 trillion off of the docket using crypto. And she was like, you know what? I could see that working. And that's kind of what I had. That's how I kind of got Tiara back into crypto, because she was just like, that's really fascinating and I want to learn more. And I could actually see that being a successful strategy. And again, you guys, we're backed into a corner. America has no more money. We're drowning in debt. How do you pay back $38 trillion from the people? You can't. So it's kind, you know, and it's, I've been having conversations with some friends. I just caught up with one of my friends. She is a Gen Xer. So yes, she is older than me. And she was just like, you know, I have a couple friends in my life who are not financial savvy, know nothing about finance. And I have this one in particular friend that's like, I need to get myself a coach. And she was like, why are you doing this? And she was like, because the writing's kind of on the wall. It's like people are awake to this. People know something is coming in the crypto space. And it's the people who get in early, you guys, that are going to be the winners. It's the people who buy now when things are in the bear market and dirt cheap. They're practically giving crypto away for free right now. It's like, why aren't you buying and holding? Because they're going to turn on that switch. It's going to be a switch and things are going to skyrocket overnight, literally. And I'm just, and this is, it's how you build generational wealth. We are talking generations and generations and generations. And like I said, they are giving crypto away for free right now. Do your own research. Okay. Don't come to me. Don't ask me what to buy. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but I do understand, you know, it's like, I do understand stock markets. I'm not an expert, but it's just like, I've dabbled in it. I understand it. I understand the concept. I understand macroeconomics, microeconomics, interest rates, beating inflation, ecosystems, when to buy, when to sell, long holds, short holds. Like I have that basic understanding. So I have a leg up, but I'm telling you, you guys should be learning these things to get that leg up, because the people who get in now are going to be the winners. And then when, as the all of the institutions right now are doing all these back deals, when it gets rolled out to the rest of the retail population that's not paying attention or ignoring it or pretending it won't happen, they're going to, like, it's going to be much harder for them to become winners of the financial game.
You know, I've seen a couple really interesting theories about how they're going to go about this. And the one that kind of like really caught my eye was what they're intending to do with something called a crypto strategic reserve. And if you paid attention to some of the things that the administration has been saying, they have actually laid out the specific tokens or coins that they intend to have as part of this reserve. You can go do your own research if you want to look into that. I mentioned earlier that they had intention of, this is again a theory, of buying millions of Bitcoin? Millions of Bitcoin?
Billions, owning it. I think. Billions of Bitcoin and owning it.
Okay, yeah. I can't remember the exact value, but lots. Owning it, holding it, and then revaluing it. And I've seen theories about them doing something similar with gold. And then creating a partially gold-backed currency that I'm not sure is meant to be crypto or if that's supposed to be a reevaluation of the dollar. Now, what's really interesting is I saw a TikToker talking about this and saying that if this happens and they decide to go the crypto route, we are going to see the value of the dollar plummet. Okay. And that's going to have worldwide ramifications, but worthless. It's also going to make the dollar completely worthless. And that is devastating. And it's going to be devastating for the world economy. So again, we don't say these things to freak you guys out or scare you. We just want you guys to be informed that this is some of the stuff we're seeing. Do your own research. You know, my strategy is really, really interesting because I'm cheap. So I'm just like, all right, let me look for the coins that are like under a dollar. And I'm talking like 0.00000000010. Those are the ones I like to find.
Under a penny is what she meant.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yes. Not a dollar. Under a penny. Under a dollar too, but under a penny are my favorites. And usually you can find them in meme coins. Now, meme coins are a tricky thing. I don't really recommend someone who's new to crypto dive right into a meme coin. I don't recommend that. Do your research, look for some of the more stable coins and like the big players like the Bitcoin, Ethereum, the network tokens. But like, yeah, I like to buy cheap and hold forever. And I actually bought a couple. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Shiba Inu. It was one of the ones I first bought, one of the meme coins, and I purchased a couple others. And I kind of did this thing where I purchased one that had a lot of potential. The project was weird and the people who did it kind of abandoned it. And then they did this weird thing where they're like, all right, well, if you've got tokens, transfer them over to this new contract and they'll get revalued. I wasn't paying attention. But at the time, I owned like 12 billion tokens of this coin that, had I transferred them, probably would have made me a lot of money. I'm not going to say how much because it hurts my feelings. But it was a lot. And so you got to pay attention. You have to stay up on what's going on in the crypto markets. You do need to keep an eye out because it's so, so volatile. Every day it's something different in crypto. So all of this is the stuff you guys need to consider. And this is stuff
it's very time consuming.
It is. That's another thing. It is time consuming. But hey, it's a lot of fun if you can change your perspective a little bit. I thought it was fun. I was doing all kinds of stuff when I was involved in crypto. I think I had like 6 wallets. I was on like every single network. I was transferring coins between networks that were incompatible with each other. And I was like, this is so fun. So yeah, it just depends on your perspective. You can have fun with it, but working on some resources for you guys. I'll put a link to the website that I have in the show notes if you want to take a look at some resources that might be available to get you started.
I would honestly say that this new financial system is your best way to save yourself right now. So it's honestly the best way. Are there risks? Yes. Is it regulated right now? No. Are there a lot of scams? Yes. I understand people's fear around it, but again, I think a lot of us are going to have absolutely no choice. We're going to be pushed into it, whether we want it or not. I think we're going to be pushed into it. And I know people in finance, like I know people who like work at Schwab, and, you know, I caught up with one of them and they were just like, people are burying their heads in the sand yet again, pretending that it's not existing. And, you know, it's like, I tried to tell these people or clients or customers or whatever, like, hey, you really shouldn't be doing that because you might be missing out on a fantastic opportunity because the big players are getting involved. Schwab is a huge player. JP Morgan, huge player. Chase, huge player. And all of these guys are creating blockchains. They're creating their own coins. Why do you think they're doing all of this? Because they're never going to use it? Because it's going to be irrelevant? No. They're doing it because they know that this is our future. And they know that, like, again, it's like what Tiara said. Like, once our dollar just tanks and becomes completely worthless, like, all this cash strategy that you guys are trying to, like, oh, I'm just going to save my cash. I'm going to stuff it in my mattress. I'm going to put it under my pillow. Guess what? Your dollar is being devalued by the second of every single day. And when that becomes worthless, you guys are not going to be able to beat inflation. You guys are not going to be able to build wealth. So absolutely, the financial stage is absolutely one way. Moving off of grid is another way. Leaving the country is another way. And so, but you guys don't need, outside of money, what you guys really need to start doing is self-educating. I cannot stress self-educating enough. It's like, if you guys actually look at history, and I had this conversation with a different friend the other day where I was just like, everything kind of repeats in a 100-year cycle. Like, the Spanish flu and COVID was exactly 100 years. Another thing, like, the Great Depression, you guys, was in 1929. There is a 100-year cycle around the financial stage. We are looking at Great Depression numbers with this economic downfall. And again, once people, if you're going to be a loser at this game of life, once you are left with nothing, like the Great Depression, like people living in shanties, people can't afford food, all this war, you know, it's just like when people are starved and hungry and desperate, that's when violence starts to break out, right? And it's like, they are setting this up where they are going to be dictators. It's going to be full total control. And that's exactly what they want. And so it's like, if you want to win at this game of life, it's like, you guys like now is the time. Now is absolutely the time. And another way that you guys can just do it is just choose not to participate in. I saw this one kid on TikTok last night that was like, you know, everyone keeps asking me, like, how did you do it? How are you surviving right now? And he was like, I just consciously made the choice not to play the game. I consciously made the choice that I wasn't going to slave away at a 9-to-5. I consciously made the choice that, like, I'm not going to own a car. I consciously made the choice that I don't need some extravagant, nice, big apartment. I don't care if I live in a hole, because I'm consciously making the choice not to play their game. So it's like, everyone can make those choices. It's just, it's going to come with sacrifices. And it, my question to all of you is, what are you willing to sacrifice? Because there are ways to survive. Like, people have to learn how to live off the land. Now, I was very fortunate to have my mother, who, huge gardener. She was an herbalist. She had all the herbs. She had all the gardens. And, like, I remember, like, helping her when I was a kid. I'd help her do, like, canning and jarring. And she kept it, you know, she stored it. And, like, we ate fresh fruit and vegetables all year round because my mother was just an avid gardener. She would grow her own herbs. She would dry them out. We would have fresh tea leaves. Like, I'm just saying that, like, Mother Earth, before, again, buildings and running water and all and electricity, it's like Mother Earth provided. It's like people use the resources of Mother Earth. Like, we can still start gardens. We can still live off of the land. You know, we can make the conscious choice to make community. We can make the conscious choice to come together. And, like, how communities really work is that everyone has something to give to the community. It's like, you might have those big whales who have great jobs, who can be the financial backing of the community. And then you have those people who specialize in gardening, and that's their role of the community. It's like, you have those people who know how to farm animals, right? It's like, they, you know, you get a couple chickens and they know how to tend to the chickens and make sure that they're healthy. And then it's like, that's your meat source. And so it's like, that's how communities do it. It's like the same as tribes. It's like everyone had their role. Like, you know, some people were the fishermen, some people were the hunters, some people were the gatherers, some people were the elders, some people were the medicine men. Community is going to be another way that we become winners of the game of life. Because right now we're also separated. We're also attached to our phones and technology. And I'm just saying that there are ways to win at this game of life. It's just enough people are not talking about it.
No, I 100% agree that enough people are not talking about it. And I'm sure that's by design. And I'm sure that that's information that's being suppressed. But that's why we're here having this conversation, because, you know, it's information. A lot of this stuff is information you guys are not likely to get elsewhere, you know, and I'm happy to say that about this podcast, because I do think that we talk about things that are very unique and that you're not going to find in other spaces. But that's for a reason. It's because where else are you going to get it? You know, like, a lot of the things that Allie knows are things that I haven't gotten anywhere else. And I'm so grateful for that, because I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that information coming from somewhere, from some source. And it just so happens that that main source is her. So same thing, like, a lot of the stuff that, you know, we're describing here, it's just, you're not going to find in many other spaces. And we're proud of that. And we want to help you guys, you know, and we want you guys to, as we said, do your own research, but also just be cognizant of what's going on the national stage. If you're in the U.S., if you're not in the U.S., I get the impression a lot of people are looking at the U.S. in horror, which is completely understandable, honestly. So it's tricky if you're in the U.S., because I know the news and the media is also being suppressed. So it's just like, dang, like, how do you pay attention to what is going on the landscape? do your own research. That might mean going to Reddit. That might mean going to TikTok. That might mean using a VPN. That might be getting really creative when it comes to getting your information, because unfortunately that's just the name of the game in 2025. You got to get creative and just do the work and dig and find the information that you need to spare yourself and to succeed post 2025, because it's going to get really ugly. Like, if the collapse that, you know, we're talking about happens, it's going to be very, very ugly, you guys.
Well, you have to, again, look at trends. And this was why I was talking to a friend who works at Schwab. And she was just like, the trends, the inflated markets right now, you know what comes after a super inflated market. You know what comes after. And it's a huge crash. Massive. And she was just like, I can't tell you how many clients I have to talk to all day about this, because people are panicking, because people know, like people who follow finance, it's just like, they know that a huge crash is coming. And it's like, what are you going to do? I still have bills to pay. I have obligations. I have bills to pay. You know, it's like, I got to pay for my daycare, especially if you have kids. Oh my God, my heart goes out to you guys if you guys have kids, because, you know, it just makes it that much harder, because now you're responsible for someone else. And unfortunately, there's this huge attack against women right now, and it's just, they want to suppress women, and they want to force women out of the workforce. They want to force women into having babies. They want to force women. It's like, I just saw it yesterday on November 21st that they put out a list of what they're not going to be considered non-professions anymore. And it's like a space where so many women work in, like nursing and social work and teachers. And I was just in architecture. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, what is happening? It's like women, it's like everything that women fought for, we are watching just slip out of our fingers. And I'm just like, after everything that we have done to position ourselves and actually not be so reliant on men, and now you guys are purposely taking that all away from us right now. And it's just like, they know no bounds. They know no bounds, and they do not care about checks and balances. They do not care if we have food. They do not care if we have shelter. And I'm just like, how do people win at this game of life? And I'm telling you, you have to be looking at the financial stage, or you gotta be really comfortable and confident in yourself to do things differently, like go off grid, take the plunge and leave the country, you know, learn to live off of the land, like learn how to live differently. And that is scary for a lot of people. But I'm afraid if you guys don't do this and start figuring out one of the ways to win at the game of life, you're going to suffer. I don't want to sugarcoat it, and I don't want to scare people. It's just the reality.
Yes. So, you know, I hope that this two-part series was insightful. You know, we talked about a lot of stuff we don't typically talk about on this podcast. And so I do think that this is I'm expecting and hoping that this will be a very impactful episode and kind of give you guys a little bit of a sense of what to pay attention to and start looking at over these next couple of years, because there's a good chance things are going to hit the fan. And, you know, I struggled with the idea, too, that things are going to hit the fan. And I struggle with...
I think she's been in denial about it, honestly.
Yeah, I struggle with this thought and this idea that everything that we know and understand is about to change completely, permanently. And that's a hard pill to swallow, especially if it's when you don't know how to function outside of what you already know. And so, you know, a part of you kind of holds on and grasps to that what is known and what has been known. And so I get it. So unfortunately, that's just our reality right now. And so it's time to start paying a little bit more attention and start looking at these things. And you will be surprised what you discover. And once you start really exploring ways to exist in a different way, it's actually quite freeing. Like it really is in many ways. Very, very freeing. Go ahead.
Okay. No, Tiara, I just want to ask you before we wrap up, because I know you are going through it right now. Like, do you have any advice? Do you have any tips? Do you want to share anything about your experience of trying to break that programming? Because it's been on our end.
I think ultimately, if you are struggling with the programming specifically, that you kind of have to dig into what it is and change the narrative. Now, I know that that's easier said than done, but it's the only thing that's really helped me in some way. Now, I know that there's also an emotional component to it, because I always say that I am a Cancer moon, and my Cancer moon loves comfort and family and familiarity,
homebody,
like home, and that concept of home is so, so important to me emotionally. So that's an added layer to it, because now not only am I navigating with the programming itself, but the emotional toll that it takes to not have what I know anymore. And it sets my nervous system on fire. And so there's multiple components of it that you kind of have to explore, like the programming, yes, and shifting the narrative, but also navigating how you're feeling when it comes to your nervous system. Are you feeling anxious or tense or afraid? Is it affecting you and your ability to function and to think? Is it doing things like affecting your appetites, which is what it does to me? So there are multiple aspects and components to it that have to be looked at. And you kind of have to show yourself a lot of self-compassion, because it's a process and a journey. And it's going to take time to really feel better about making such profound shifts. I would say that it helps to have someone, a friend, a mentor, or guide to help go through the process. Because again, I don't think that it's something you can do alone. You need some type of support structure or system in place. Now, not all of us have that, and I understand that, but it does help to at least have someone you can lean on to help you in some ways. Because I know for me, it has messed with my head and my psyche, and I'm grateful that I do have Allie and her team to support me in that, because I have threatens to get lost in some of that negative emotion and sentiment tied to it. So it's multiple moving parts, multiple things you have to look at and consider. Mindfulness is very, very helpful. I know mindfulness has helped me a lot in many ways when it comes to this transition and shift. It's a process, and transitions like that are they're hard, and they're a lot to deal with. But if you practice mindfulness, if you take advantage of any support that you have, even if it just means a Facebook group or a Reddit group, you know, there are other people who are doing the same thing, and you can find those individuals. And sometimes it helps to have that and to lean on them. So again, multiple moving pieces, multiple aspects that you need to take into consideration, and show yourself some self-compassion, because it's a process, and I know what that's like.
Well, what would you say about your whole process of the reprogramming? It's like, can you pinpoint what some of those programs are? Because I feel like a lot of the masses would relate.
Oh, yes. Like the one I've been really working through is this whole concept that the harder you work, the more money you'll make. Now, I don't know why it's programming, societal programming, obviously, but it was one that was very, very strongly embedded in my psyche, that I need to put in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours a day. And if I do that, then I'll make more money. But I have done that multiple times and not earned a penny. So it is a false program. Now, I know that when you're working and you have a 9-to-5, that oftentimes that is the case. You put in more hours, you make more money. Mm. But once you step out of that, out of the matrix and into a different way of being, that's not always the case, especially if you're carrying other blocks. So that was one that's been something I've been working through. There is another one tied to reward and payoff. It's kind of goes hand in hand, like that you have to work hard to see the payoff. like that you have to be slaving away if you want anything for yourself or to build wealth, which also isn't necessarily true. Again, these are just programs that have just been there that have just, I've existed on these for my entire life. So two examples that go kind of go hand in hand, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I just, like I said, I think that's really helpful because I feel like TR is much more relatable than I am because I've always just walked life at the beat of my own drum. Like ever since I was a kid, I had no problem saying no to my parents if they requested something from me. I had no problem doing things differently. Even if I heard no, I was like, okay, well, I'll just go over here and I'll try this. And like my parents would look at me and be like, what is she doing? I'm just like doing something different. And it has brought me a lot of success in my life. I'm not going to lie. It has, you know, it's just, and it, unfortunately it's my way of thinking that the world tries to suppress because it's my way of thinking that leads towards the winners of the game of life. And they don't want that. And so I feel like in a lot of ways, TR is just a lot more relatable when it comes to like, you know, needing that guidance on, well, how do I live differently? How do I break free of this programming? How do I get rid of my limiting beliefs? How do I remove those blocks that are keeping me from manifesting? Because a lot of people are there. A lot of people are stuck there. So it's like, I love when I'm able to just conversate with Tiara on this podcast and kind of get into her brain a little bit because I feel like she's much more relatable.
Well, I hope that it was helpful. I'm sure we'll be having similar conversations to this in the future, but I'd be happy to do like an episode about like more of the blocks that I've identified and some of the ways I've like the replacements of the narrative that I've placed there. To the point where actually I have like notebooks full of stuff, you guys, like notebooks full of all of the programming in my brain. This is one, there's another one. And then I also have online drives of writings that were, I have so much. I'm going to write a book or something at some point. But yeah, I'm happy to have this conversation again at some point to help. And maybe I can like talk a little bit about what I've got in some of this stuff. Maybe that'll be helpful.
There's a lot of fascinating stuff there. Self-discovery is, I mean, TR and I find it super fascinating. Not everyone does. Because there's a lot of painful stuff in there. And like, just to wrap this up, I did see a TikTok of this guy that was just like, you know, so many people romanticize healing. Like so many people are just like, oh, I'm gonna fill my bathtub and I'm gonna have my candles and I'm gonna have my journal and I'm gonna sit in my bathtub and journal, and that's healing. And that's kind of what's been sold to you in the love and light communities. But the truth about healing is that healing is actually extremely, extremely painful. It's extremely painful. It's like, if you want to know, like, how do I know if the healing's working? Well, have you felt pain yet? No. Okay, then it probably hasn't worked. And that's how I know, because you have to, healing is about going into the darker aspects of yourself. It's about going into that trauma and feeling that pain and working through that pain so you can find light at the end of the tunnel. It's not about starting with the love and light and being like, oh my God, I'm healing. Like I get to relax in my bathtub and journal. Like, look at this, I'm healing. No. And so I found that to be really powerful. And it's just like, and that's another thing that's been programmed into us, that healing is just thinking positively and affirmations and the bathtubs and the candles. No. Are they nice things that make us feel lighter? Yes. Do those things to relax, to enjoy yourself, a little bit of self-care, a little bit of self-love. Absolutely do those things. But it doesn't equal proper healing.
Yeah, and I know I'm getting somewhere when after I've written about 15 pages of introspection, I break out in tears. Then I know that, hey, I'm getting somewhere.
Right. So healing is actually going to be a huge part of winning at the game of life. I mean, honestly, this could be a whole other episode too. And it's like this could be a series, The Game of Life, because healing is a very important aspect of winning at life. And there's a lot of reasons why. So I think maybe we will do a part three around healing. But I just want to thank everyone for tuning into this series. I think the series is going to continue. I intended it to be a two-parter, but now I actually think it needs to be a three-parter, because there is something to be said about healing and being able to win at the game of life from a very healed place versus an unhealed place. And I think that is actually something that needs to be talked about.
Okay. So tune in for part three of The Game of Life, you guys. I don't think we've ever done a three-parter, have we?
In the trauma series, we have.
Okay, that's right.
Like, we did a trauma series, and we'd had, like, four different traumas in it.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, stay tuned.
Yeah, so thank you, everyone. And I hope you guys find this resourceful and helpful. And, you know, we have a website, we have emails, reach out to us because we'd love to hear from you. But I just, like I said, I just don't think enough people are talking about this. And I feel like we're in a really crucial stage as a society and individually. And I just want to spread as much awareness as possible. And again, we're not psychiatrists, we're not financial advisors. We're just talking about our own personal experiences through, you know, just experiences that we have lived throughout our lives, because we have a lot to share.
Yes, absolutely, you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in, and talk again soon.
Yeah, take care.